So I came to this church, the Chinese congregation, about 20 years ago. I mean, it's a long time. So I remember the first time I came here. So I get a job at Eli Lilly in 2004. And at that time, I wasn't a Christian. So I have my coworker, Tian Yu and Li Shen. I think some of you may know them. They invite me to church. And I just want to check it out, what the church looks like, because I don't really know about Christianity very much. I think, I have a lot of misunderstanding of Christianity, I think, going to church is just like learning how to be a good person, how to be better, So I went to church for a little bit, probably about 6 months, I stopped going because I was a young guy. And I don't want to get up on a Sunday morning, to go to church, to just listen to people talk about how to be better, And I mean, it was fun, I go to church, it was fun. There's a lot of people welcome me, it's fun, It's kind of like a social club, like, oh, I have time, I will come, because there's all these good people. But then I don't really have a relationship with Jesus. Like, I don't know who Jesus is. Even I come to the church and I think, oh, we just listen to message, to hear, what I have to do better, or what do I have to serve, what I have to do. And it's all about do, so it wasn't very interesting for me, because I have the wrong impressions of what Jesus is, And I think it's very common, it's very common that a lot of people in the world, even in America, in Cambodia, they think, all the religion is the same, they just teach you to do good works. Like, how do you do good works to be better, And then when you please God, you do great thing and do please God, and then you go to heaven, and that's it, But this is, is I mean, we all know it's not, why we believe Jesus. It's not about, doing good works and going to heaven. I think that's just a very big misconception of a lot of people in general, even in Christians, So when I go to Cambodia, there are churches, but a lot of churches, they really just focus on doing good works as well. There's a lot of Christians not really understanding who Jesus is. So they're just, focusing on the law. They teach you the 10th commandment. Just focus on doing, like try to be better, But like people just keep falling short, you just keep sinning, and why it doesn't work, So I always tell people, like Christianity is not, it's not like the other religion. It's not about doing good works and earn merit from God and go to heaven. But believing Jesus is the relationship with Jesus, that you can talk to God and talk to you, It's a relationship with Jesus. And that is very difficult to understand. Because if you never heard of God and you don't know what the voice of God looks like. So like over the year, like I started to know Jesus, so I can share, the gospel, in Cambodia. So to tell them, why do you believe Jesus? He's not just doing good works. So I went on, like even when I first believed Jesus, I still don't know much about Jesus, like what Jesus has done for us. I think a lot of people think, believing Jesus is just changing, from a bad person, trying by yourself, from a bad person to a morally or good person. But actually, the real Christianity, what Jesus come to do, it wasn't like that. But Jesus come to bring a dead person alive. It's about resurrections. Maybe some of you are confused. Maybe you think, oh, I'm sharing a little crazy things. No, but that is the truth. God is bringing a dead person to life. So today I will just try to convince you, or maybe not convince you, but by the Holy Spirit, I hope, you will know the Lord more, through the scriptures. This is one of my favorite scripture that I share all the time. I think everyone has to memorize these scriptures. So this is a scripture is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. So it said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So I mean, I like the Chinese translations because new creation, sometimes it's hard to understand what new creation, but Chinese is actually translate better. Is that a new created person? You know, so in the beginning, God created man, you know, created Adam. And now, you know, Jesus create a new man in us. So, so what does it mean? Like, what is new creations? So I will talk a little bit about, you know, what's this new creation. But let's look at this verse again. You know, it said, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new person. And old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And love, what it said, the old has passed away. The old, you know, the old man with sinful nature, all our past failures, all our bad experience that we have in life, you know, they're all gone. When you believe Jesus, the day you become a Christian, you believe Jesus, all this past sin is gone and the new has come. And it's just amazing. Like in the past, when I first believed Jesus, I interpret it differently. I interpreted it as just, oh, maybe I'm a bad person. Now I'm new. I try to change a little bit. You know, I try to change a little bit of my bad habit. You know, I try to get up on Sunday and go to church, you know. But no, it's not just changing a little things, but it's a whole new being. It's a whole new person that God is changing us. It's a new person. It's not just changing a little bit. Try to be a little bit better. You know, that's not the whole point of believing Jesus. So if you're not convinced, I mean, we can look at, you know, what Jesus said, you know. So Jesus, you know, this is in John 3. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And I think we heard about this phrase, you know, like in Christianity, we talk about we have to be born again. We have to be reborn. But actually, what does it actually mean? You know, like it's very difficult to understand, you know. And you know, there's a religious leader asked Jesus about, you know, how to be born again. Can we go back to the womb of the mother? And, you know, Jesus said, you know, that's not born again means, you know. If born again, it means, Jesus said, you have to be born of water and of spirits. Like your spirits have to be reborn. And I used to think, you know, when I look at this verse, I think, oh, when we're born again, it just means when we die and go to heaven and we're born again and see the heavens. So it wasn't like that. It was like you're born again now. You know, it's not like, oh, you wait till you go to heaven. That's the misconception that I had, like even when I first believed Jesus. I think, oh, we live in this sinful world, you know, like we cannot get away from sin. We have to wait till we go to heaven, then we can stop sinning, you know. And it doesn't give us any power, you know, living in this life. We're just like waiting, you know. That's why a lot of Christians is just like waiting, you know, like we believe Jesus already and just waiting to the day, you know, when you go to heaven, everything is good. No, but if you read the scripture, actually, the day you become a Christian, you have a new creation. You're a new creation. Everything has changed and it's new. It's, you know, you can be free of sin, like even now. I mean, that's the power that God gave you. You know, God doesn't wait until you go to heaven and be everything good. But when you believe Jesus, you'll be a new creation and everything will change. You think maybe I'm crazy. Okay, let's just look at a little bit more scripture, you know, because I'm not making this up. So in Matthew, you know, Jesus tell his disciple. So he tell his disciple, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And I think this is a very difficult thing to do. You know, Jesus said you have to take up the cross. You know, taking up the cross, what does that mean, taking up the cross? You know, we see Jesus being on the cross. That means die, you know. So like when you look at this scripture, like, does Jesus want me to die? You know, it's very hard to understand. Does Jesus want us to die? Yeah. I mean, at the beginning, I don't believe, you know, when I first believed Jesus, oh, I try to change the meaning, you know. Oh, God doesn't want me to die. He's just like doing difficult things. But no, actually, Jesus wants us to die, to all. So this is talk about when we before we believe Jesus, because the question is that if anyone would come after me, that means he hasn't followed Jesus yet. So he's still living in his old life that is full of sin. So Jesus said, if you want to follow Jesus, then you have to deny yourself and follow Jesus. That means you have to die in your old self. So then Jesus said, you know, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So Jesus actually really means it, you know, really means dying. You know, it's really dying, but it's dying in your old life, but you have a new life. Just like Jesus, you know, Jesus died on the cross, but Jesus resurrected. You know, it's just the same way, you know, when we die and we resurrected with a new life. So it may be still couldn't understand, like, what do you die? What do you mean? Like, okay, so let's look at another scripture. So this is in Galatians 2:20. So this is Paul, Apostle Paul, that, you know, that is follower of Jesus. And he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul saying that I'm crucified with Christ, that means he's on the cross with Christ. You know, actually the day that Jesus died on the cross, Paul also died with him. You know, because Jesus took on all the sin of our life, you know, in the cross, on the cross. So it means that we crucify with Christ. And then it is an interesting scripture. It said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lived in me. But what does that mean? Like, do I stop thinking? Do I stop having my own thoughts? No, but it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lived in me. And it is difficult to understand what does it mean by, like, I'm not even living. You know, what does that mean? It doesn't mean you just stop thinking. You just, you know, not living. But you still live. So I like to use an example of, like, marriage. You know, in a marriage, you know, like, I'm a single guy. The money that I have, the time that I have, I can do whatever I want, right? Because it's my money, my time. But then when you get married, you kind of have your money, but it's not really your money. You know, because it's your money and your wife's money. And you can't do whatever you want. So it feels like it wasn't you that is living, you know, because you can't do what you want, right? So I think this is kind of what it means, you know, like you still live, you know, but it's not your own, but you're living together, you know, because in the scripture, you talk about we are married with Christ, you know. So even I'm single physically, I'm single, but spiritually, I'm, you know, with Christ. So I still can, I don't have my own money. My money is God's money. You know, like, it's like, you know, my time is not my time. It's together's time. You know, like me and my God's time, you know. So this is what it means. Like when you have a new life, you are with, you know, your old self has to die. You know, what you want to do, you have to die. You share with Christ. Okay, so now, I think this is what the focus, you know, I think dying, you know, is difficult to understand, but now I hope you get the point. But now, I mean, we want to focus when you die and born again, what is this new life? I think this is really the key, because I think a lot of Christians, you know, they don't focus on this new life. They focus on their old life. You know, the past sin that I have, like, how do I change this past sin or change this bad behavior? You know, we focus on the old life. But I think God wants us to focus on the new life that we have, you know, instead of focus on the old life. Because what it matters is, you know, what you keep on living. You don't go back and look back in your old life. So we spend a lot of time, you know, teaching. You know, that's kind of my focus on teaching. What is this new life? You know, what is this new life that you're living now? You know, with Christ, what does this give you? What does it change you? You know, what is your living every day? So there are so many topics. So today I can only spend, you know, just a few minutes talking about one point. So you can spend like months of like lessons or like studying the scripture for months. So today I just want to focus on one thing. Let's talk about the seed. You know, so this scripture, let's look at it together. 1 Peter 1, it says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seeds, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So it says, since you have been born again, that means you have born again already. So like, if you believe Jesus, you are born again now. You know, you don't have to wait till you die and go to heaven and born again. So you are born again now. But what is it? The seed, you know, I think the seed is, I don't know in Chinese, but it's interesting. So in Khmer, so when I tell people I'm single and I don't have like physical kids, so they ask, how do you pass your seed? You know, so in Greek words, the seed, it also means the offspring, you know, like how do you, I don't know what the Chinese, like your following generations, you know. And the Cambodians, they care about, you know, that because they need to pass on their seed or pass on their offsprings. So that's what the seed is the offspring, right? So where do we come from, you know? So before we believe Jesus, we come from the seed of Adam, you know, because we are from Adam that is full of sin, you know, and we follow the offspring, the seed of Adam, you know, to now. So that's why when we are born, we have a sinful nature in us already when we were born, because we are coming from the lineage of Adam. But the miracle that happened is when you believe Jesus, Jesus gave you a new seed, the seed of God, the seed of Abraham by faith. So that's the key, you know, it's not the physical, but the spiritual. You inherit Abraham's seed of Abraham, that you have a new seed in you. Okay, so maybe it's not clear. So let's look at another verse. Let's look about what is the seed do, you know. So, okay, let's look at this. Matthew 7:17. It says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruits, but a bad tree bears bad fruits. So a seed is directly to what it will grow into. So for example, if you plant an apple seed, you have an apple tree, and you have apple as a fruit, right? You can't plant an apple seed and get an orange, right? It doesn't work that way. So it is the same way. The seed that is inside of us, if we are coming from seed of Adam, which is a sinful nature, if we have a seed of sinful nature, if you plant it, you will have a sinful tree, and the fruit that you see, it will also be bad seed, bad fruits. You know, that's what the scripture here it says. You know, the seed is directly to related to the fruit that it will come out. So what is the fruit? You know, what is the seed comes out to be? What is the fruit? So Galatians talk about the fruit. You know, there's, So Galatians 5:22-23, it said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So this is the nine fruit of the Spirit. I think that we all know that they're all good things that we are trying to have. You know, we're trying to better ourselves to get this fruit, you know. But the truth is, you don't do it by doing work. But bearing fruit is planting the seeds. Yeah, so it's planting the seeds. So when you have the seed of the Holy Spirit, it will come the fruit in one day. So that when you plant, it doesn't come, the fruit doesn't come right away. You know, it has to grow and it will bear fruits. the seed is already in you. The day you believe Jesus, you know, the seed is already in you. And what it takes is just, you know, taking, you know, time, not just time, but like taking understanding, being mature, you know, when the seed grow and mature, the fruit will come. So that is the key, you know, the key is to bear this fruit, you know, in order to get, you know, what we want. You know, we want all this joy, we want peace, you know, we want patience. Does that make sense? So this is the last scripture that is also my favorite scripture. So is that 2 Peter 1:3? Is that his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So when we look at this scripture, it said his divine power has granted us. It means already done, you know, like in Chinese, it's already done, has granted us. All things, not just something, you know, like everything. What is all things that is pertaining to life, you know, like what you need for life, you know. God provide everything for life and godliness for you. Godliness is kind of like, how do you follow Jesus? How do you be good, I guess? So God has already given us. So God has already given us the seed, you know, to bear all this fruit, actually. So like for example, like the old way, like people pray, you know, oh, God, please give me more patience. You know, I have all this crazy people that I'm working with. You know, God, please give me patience. You know, but actually, God already gave you the seed. You know, it's already in you. You know, you don't have to ask for patience. You know, you just have to grow. You know, you just have to grow. God already provide everything for you. You just have to grow. So that is really the key, you know. God provide everything for us. Because I think sometimes we have a mentality of lacking, you know. Like all of us feel like, I'm sure, like we have a lot of Christians that believe Jesus for a long time. But I feel like I'm lacking. I cannot serve, you know. Like I don't know this, you know. Or maybe like I have never been to Bible school, you know. How can I do this or that? You know, I feel like I'm inadequate. I don't have what I need. But the truth is, God already gave you everything for you to prepare for you. You have everything you need in order to do his work, to follow him. You know, God gave you everything. And it is very hard to understand. So I have the kind of analogy. Think about an infant, a baby that is born. Does a baby have teeth? Yeah, the baby doesn't have a teeth. But does he has it inside of him already? Like you don't have to plan it. You don't have to like ask, oh, Father, give me some teeth so that I can eat. No, you don't ask, you know, like, because it's already in you, you know, but it doesn't come right away, you know. It takes time, you know, it takes maturity. It takes maturity to come and see, you know, oh, the teeth, now is a good time to use it, you know. So it takes maturity to see the fruits, you know. So it is the same way, I think, in our life, you know, walking with Jesus, you know, it's not about like learning, you know. I think, you know, in the society or even in church, you know, we want to put people in training, you know, like we need to train, we need to do this, you know, to train, you know. We think we're not equipped, we have to train. Sure, it is good, you know, it is good to train. You know, I mean, I'm not saying we don't need to train. But I think what is more important is the maturity, you know. Like I'm sure, you know, a lot of us here, we have like kids, we have teenagers, right? How to make a teenager grow, you know, because they're very immature. So we work with, you know, some young guys, you know, they're immature. You know, they know a lot, you know, they go through school, they learn a lot, you know. But growing maturity is different from learning. Like you can't just, you know, teach your kid, you know, you can teach your kid to cook, to do laundry, to do all this thing. But then when you put him into college or put it into like a different situation. Sometimes they just can't do it because they're not mature. They can do it physically, you know, by training, but then they're not mature, you know. I think, you know, in our life, you know, in the Christian life, you know, I think it takes, you know, to be mature, you know, it takes. And how to be mature, you know, I think, you know, you have to do it, you know. If you don't do it, you will never mature, you know. So I think, you know, we see, you know, we in churches, you know, in a lot of area, we try to train people, you know, but then they don't do it, you know. They don't do it, then they can train all the time, you know, but they're not mature. And you don't see any change in your life because the change is not changed by learning how to do it, but be mature. Yeah, and it's just amazing, you know, God already gave us everything we need. And this is the message, you know, that I'm so passionate in, you know, sharing the gospel in Cambodia. You know, because in Cambodia, everyone is poor. You know, everyone is, not everyone, like most people are poor. You know, most people are not educated. So they have very low self-esteem. They don't think they can do anything, you know, because they think, oh, you have a foreigner, you can do everything. But no. But when you believe Jesus, you know, you have everything. You know, this is the message. We want to empower them. I mean, it's not just we, I mean, it's God, you know. God wants to empower us, you know. God wants to help us grow, you know. And every single person, you know, even kids, you know, like some of the people think, you know, kids can't do anything. You know, just play, you know, wait till they grow up, then they can serve. No, but kids, you know, we see amazing things, you know, through kids, you know, because it's the same, you know, when you believe Jesus, it's the same Holy Spirit that you receive, you know, as an adult or as a kid. So you have the full power of God and God gave you a new heart. So for a kid, for adults, it's the same way. So that's just really, so it's just really amazing. And that's what we do in Cambodia. So this is kind of a typical thing that I do in Cambodia now. So we have a group of disciples that we minister, we teach. So a lot of our disciples actually they come from the city to the town. So they grow up in church. You know, a lot of them grow up in church. You know, they know all the Bible stories. And there's only like maybe two or three of them is new believers. But all of them, you know, they're capable because, you know, when you know the word of God, when you know this new creation, this new person that God has made you, there's nothing can stop you. So now I just want to switch a little bit, you know, and talk about, you know, our missions in Cambodia. So the scripture that I use for this time is the Great Commission, the Matthew 28:19-20. It said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So I want to highlight, make disciples. Now, I think this is a very important key. You know, God wants us to go and make disciples and not just make converts. You know, I think a lot of people, you know, focusing on evangelism, on just making converts, you know, to just like, oh, I believe Jesus and that's it. But making disciples is very tedious. You know, it's not like, you know, you can just do it for one day. You know, disciple is like a lifelong thing, you know. So what making a disciple, so it's not just teaching. You know, so disciple is different from students. You know, student, you just learn, you know, you go to church and learn, you know, you're like a student, you know, but making disciple is you do it together, you know. Think about Jesus making disciple. So Jesus teaches disciple, but his disciple walk with Jesus. You know, whatever Jesus do, they will do as well. They will follow and see what Jesus do. So it is the same way. So the way, you know, we do making disciple is, you know, we go out to share the gospel and our disciple go with me together, you know. We go together. So besides just like sitting and learning, but we go and do it together. And I think this is really the key, you know, because doing together, this is the step that make them mature, I think, you know. So you have to go out and do it. So So let me just tell you a little bit. I think I shared this last time, but if we have new people, then it's new information. So this is Cambodia. So Cambodia is next to Vietnam and Thailand. So the capital is Phnom Penh. Is down in the red star. And then there's a tourist city in the yellow is Siem Reap, the yellow star. So that's a little bit north. And the area that I work in is the red area, which is next to Thailand, is bordering Thailand. So our group really focus on remote people, like people in the village. So we go all the way, you know, it's like almost the farthest away from the capital. So that's, so most of the mission is happening in the city. In the rural area, there's not much mission going on. So that's the reason why we picked that province, that area, because it's enriched. So when I first moved to Cambodia, it was just a few missionaries, it was just myself most of the time. But now, so the area, we call it Odom and Jay. So now we have a big team of us. So now we have 6 missionaries, including a baby, a 1-year-old baby. So we have 6 international missionaries, and we have 12 local Cambodian missionaries. So we have a team of us now that we work together as a team. So let me just tell you a little bit about the strategy. I think it's not difficult to understand. It's just like 5 steps. It's pretty simple. So there's the mission strategy. The first step is reconnaissance. It just means like finding all this remote village and finding a person of peace. You know, when Jesus sent out his disciple, he sent out to find the peace, and then you stay there. We do the same way. So we find different village and find the person of peace. And then when we find the person of peace, then we will send an expedition. An expedition is something that all of you can help, you know. So we send a team of short-term missions, you know, from the United States or from other countries, or even in Cambodia. And the goal is to share the gospel in that one particular village that we already find this person of peace. And we talk to every single person and share the gospel with them. So that's the goal. And then the sector management, the third step is to raise them up, teach them, the believer, you know, when there's believer, we teach them and grow them. And then the fourth step is to make leaders, you know, out of the believer, we teach them and grow them to be leader. And then the fifth step is just how to make this as continuously sustain. It's called sustainability. How do you keep going in this movement? So let me tell you a little bit about the short-term mission, because it's something that you all can participate. And that's why I'm coming to the States, to recruit people to help in this mission together. Because we can't do it alone, because with us, we have so many villages to go to, and we don't have time to go to like every single house in the village. So an expedition trip is just a short-term mission, it's 2 weeks long. Usually it's 6 to 10 members, so it's a small team, and we break it into teams, and we have translators. And we identify one village. So usually a village has about 100 families, 100 to 200 families in the village. So the goal is to reach every single house. So we do house-to-house visits. So we spend 2 hours, 3 hours visiting people. I mean, it sounds very slow, but it works. and it's what, you know, it's a relationship. You know, you visit people, you talk to them, you know their life and minister to them. So we have teams, you know, going to Cambodia or in another country, you know, from May to August. You know, it's 2 week trips. And we had a Cantonese team that went in 2019. And we have to find specific translator because they speak Mandarin. Some of them speak Mandarin. So we have, you know, if the church, you know, able to organize a trip, you know, we can find translator for Mandarin speakers. And you can create your own time as well. I mean, if it's coming from just a church, but otherwise, you know, there are trips that are pre-organized and you can just join through May through August. We have teams. So in the last 10 years or so, we have done a lot of expedition in this province, in the area that I work in. We have almost 20 teams that came. So every year we have about 3 or 4 teams, so not a lot. So the goal is to reach every single village. You know, that's really the overall goal, is to reach every single village. And in this province, there's over 300 villages. And there's only a few churches in those villages. And most of the churches is in a big town, in a big city. And in the villages, there's not many churches. So since there's a lot of villages, so we focus just on the west side of the province right now. So we just focus on the area that I highlighted red, because that's the area that is mostly unreached. In two area, there's only like 2 churches with like 86 villages. So that's the places we started a lot of house churches in that area. And that's kind of what my focus is. Okay, so now I talk about the sector management, which is my work, you know, in raising up the disciples. So we do it different ways. So there are different approach, you know. So the first approach is to partner with a local church, you know. So we don't work alone, you know. We want to partner with local church, and we don't want to replace, you know, the local church. We want to encourage the local church, empower the local church. So we work closely with local churches if they want to work with us. And then we also do a lot of village ministry, which is like, you know, places that doesn't have a church. So we go to those places. And then thirdly, we have our own local disciple that we train to be potential to be leaders. So the local church is in the town that where we live, and they're like, because it is like the capital of the province. So they have, so there are about 5-6 churches. Most of the churches only have about 10 to 20 people. So it's a very small church. But even though it's small, but they can be powerful. Once they know what God has given them, it's so powerful. And that's what, and I just want to talk a little bit about the pastor that we have been working with. This pastor, his name is Pastor Curl, and he is an Assembly of God church. At the beginning, it was associated with Assembly of God, but then they're so remote that they kind of like they stop having people to visit them. So they're now kind of like independent. But anyway, we have this connection back in 2013. It was like even before I went to Cambodia, and we have missionary already, you know, kind of scouting the area, and we make a connection with Pastor Curl in 2013. And during the expeditions, we go to a village that is very close to town, maybe 5-10 minutes from town. So the pastor go with the team and share the gospel, and his wife actually take on the leadership role in ministering, like doing weekly meeting in that village. And then the youth in that church also go and teach the kids since 2013. So now a lot of the young kids now is grow up to be teenagers. And they now love the Lord, and you know, some of them, they go and share the gospel with us. So it's just an amazing partnership with the pastor. So I go to the church when I moved to the province in 2018. So I go to the church and I share message kind of regularly as well, but I don't want to take over the church. So they ask me almost share every week, but I say, I'm not taking over your church. So I share once in a while. But I built a lot of relationship with the people in the church. So that's why it takes a little bit long time, you know, it takes a long time to build relationship with people. So this past year, actually from this church, this past year, I was inviting, you know, one person to join our team. But there are other people were interested. So we started with 4 people from the church. Then after the 4 people from this church, you know, join our missions, and we do studying the Word of God every morning. And probably about 4 or 5 months later, they really change, you know, their life change. So they're very excited and they're on fire for God. So then they start their own Friday night meetings. So they're busy, you know, ministering every day. But then they want their church, you know, they want their friends, you know, they want to, I mean, because they're kids, you know, they want their friends to know Jesus well as well. But then they started a Friday night meeting for the youth, you know. So I'm not part of it. So my disciple actually lead the whole thing, because it's more of the younger people thing, you know. So then, you know, the church really changed, you know. So the pastor is getting old, and he wanted, you know, the next generation to take over the church. So they start asking the youth to preach. And a lot of the youth, you know, they were girls, and they're young girls. They're like early 20 girls, and they're afraid to preach, you know, before, you know. But after, you know, the Friday night meeting, I think they're learning the scripture that I teach them, and then they teach it to their friends, you know. And some of them has the boldness to actually start preaching. And it's just really amazing. And I think they're also interested in joining us sometime, but they're working full-time job. So they're thinking about it. But a lot of youth is on fire for God and want to serve the Lord. And some of the youth start volunteering with us. You know, some of the youth, they have break from school, and then they would come and go to the village with us. And they also started like a camping trips, you know, to invite other kids that has not believed Jesus. So they are really amazing. It's all youth-led effort, you know. So this is our goal, to empower the local church. And the other way we do is to do village ministry. You know, we go to a village that doesn't have a church, and we start evangelize. So this is a very early, you know, this is actually the very first kind of house church that we started. So we had an expedition in May of 2018. And from that trip, we have 5 people believe Jesus, only 5. So it's not a lot. So we're not looking for, you know, thousands right away. You know, we were looking for like just a few people, just 5 people in the village, and they believe Jesus. So we start a Bible study in 2018 in September. And then a little bit later on in April 2019, we started kids ministry. You know, we have the local, because I have connection with the local church, and they know how to teach kids. So we just bring them to the village and teach the kids. And then over the year in 2022, a couple of years ago, we have 8 people committed and get baptized. So the growth is not like huge, you know, it's not like, you know, in some area they're huge. But I want to stress, you know, the people that believe Jesus is actually believing Jesus. And it is amazing testimony from many of them. And in below, it has like the first sister, you know, from the first expedition that gave their life to the Lord is Sister De. So she is an amazing lady. You know, she pray all the time, you know. She has so much faith. And she's one of the lady that now, you know, probably it take her about 2 years to understand what Jesus is. Because at that time, my language wasn't very good. So like, it's hard for them to understand. After 2 years, it's a long time. She started to get it, you know. She's starting to get it. Oh, you need to have faith. You know, when you pray, you have to have faith. And she started to have faith, you know, when she prayed. And now, like every single week, she would have testimonies. Like she would pray for healings, you know, because people get sick a lot in the village, and there's no, you know, hospital in the village. So they have to rely on prayers, you know. So she prayed all the time. She prayed for her grandkids. She prayed for herself, because they're a farmer. They always have back pain, you know, because they have to like harvest, you know, and do things. So they're always in pain. They always pray. And she always pray, and she always see testimony. And she loves sharing the testimony to her family, to her neighbors. Everybody knows about it, you know. But there's a lot of persecution, you know. But she's amazing. Even though there are people persecuted her, she still just keep doing, you know, keep sharing. And then her sister, Sister Big, so she believed Jesus like 2 years, in 2020. And her sister also have a lot of faith, you know. When she prays, she always see miracles. And then 2 years more later, 2022-23, we have Sister Bo and Sister Com. It's hard to pronounce her name. But anyway, so all 4 of these sisters, like almost every week, you know, we gather together, we have a time of sharing testimony. And we see God, you know, every week, you know, from from these four ladies. There are more, you know, testimony from different believers as well. So we see God really work. And this is another village. Actually, this is the team that the Cantonese team went and shared the gospel in 2019, July. And we started a Bible study in January the following year. I mean, it also started with just five people. So, in this picture is the very first gathering. It was just five people. And then later on, we started kids ministry. At the beginning, also just a few of them, and now grow to about 20 kids. And in October 2022, there's another 8 adults get baptized, and then 10 kids get baptized. The other village, the kids is not as smart as this village. Maybe not as smart, but like they're not like, because we don't just baptize anyone to just believe Jesus. We actually do ask them, why do you believe Jesus? You know, and they can answer. Some of them they can answer, some of them cannot. So in this village, they can answer, you know, why you believe Jesus. So then we baptize them. So we have 10 kids in this village that baptized. And actually in this village, the youth is actually leading the prayer, you know, the opening prayer, they're leading the worship as well. They love singing songs. So we try to have the kids, you know, have a kind of a leadership role in the village. Because the kids in this village, they pray, you know, they pray and they see healings. And then their parents will come and interested to know Jesus. Like, oh, like my kids pray and see healings, you know. Because I think a few years ago, there's a big flu or going on in the village. And a lot of people get sick. And the kids start praying and they see a lot of healings. And in this village, the adult also love the Lord and see a lot of testimony. One of the lady get hit by lightning, and she was healed. So now I want to focus on the co-minister, and actually that's really my focus on bringing, you know, the local people to grow in a leadership role. So we spend 2 hours every morning to study the Word of God, and then in the afternoon we'll go into the village. So since our team is big, so we split into three teams and we go to different area every day. So we work Monday through Friday because many of them has local church to attend. So we don't want to interrupt their participation in the local church. So then Saturday and Sunday, they have to prepare for church service because they're leading the church. So Sunday, they have Sunday church. Our local co-minister grow so much. But the beginning, they only know how to share the gospel because I teach them, you know, what to share. You just follow and share. And they didn't have the faith, you know, to believe miracles. And it takes them about 4 or 5 months to really get it, you know, that the Lord has gave them the power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, you know. And it takes them about 4 to 5 months to understand who they are, you know, what actually God has given them. And it's just amazing to see, you know, they're all young people and they grow so fast, you know. And after 4 or 5 months, they start praying with faith. And now every day, you know, every day we will see a miracle in the village, you know, since May. Every day we share testimony and there will be healing that happens. We have seen blind eyes opened. It's just really amazing. And it's not just coming from the Westerners, but the locals. So now I want to talk about the leadership, you know, like some of them, you know, I'm looking at it, some of them can become leaderships. So when they become a leader, so I can step away and move to a different place. So this is really our key to grow, to empower a local leader. So now we have Brother Chai that he has worked with me for about 3 years now. He started working with me in 2021. At that time, he was a new believer. But the pastor that he was working with is a very legalistic pastor, you know. So at that time he was sick, you know, and he pray and pray, you know. He asked his pastor, you know, like, I'm sick, you know, pray for me, you know. And the pastor just say, oh, just pray, you know. He doesn't understand, you know, the faith. You know, he doesn't. You just pray, you know. So he struggled a lot. So then he was serious that he has to go to the hospital every week. And since, you know, I live right next to the hospital, so the pastor asked me, oh, if he can live with me, so I can take him to the hospital. It's during COVID time, so the pastor couldn't see him. But anyway, I have the opportunity to speak to him, like teach him, you know, the word of God. And his faith really is starting to grow, you know. Because in the beginning, he think, oh, if God doesn't heal me, maybe I'm not working enough. I'm not doing good enough. You know, it's just so sad, you know, because he doesn't know grace, you know, like they've never learned the word grace, you know, what the grace means, you know. But anyway, after 4 months, he was healed. And then now he start working with us. And he's one of the amazing leader, you know, he helped lead, you know, our new disciples. And he go and evangelize in new village and baptize new believers. And one of the things that he start doing is to empower the youth. The village that I talk about, actually, is not my work. It's actually Brother Chai. He really focused on empowering the kids, you know, so that the kids can lead worship. They can lead, you know, different things and pray for people. Yeah, I think in this picture is just showing that he's teaching the kids to pray for one another, you know, when they're sick, you know, when they, I mean, it's just like simple thing, you know, when the kid play and fall down and then they hurt and then we start praying, you know, we don't wait for like cancer or like, you know, not wait for like big thing, you know, just little thing, you know, we start praying, we believe the Lord. So really amazing. And then I want to share about another of my co-minister, Brother Sopak. And this guy, I met him in the village, but back in 2019, you know, when I visited a village and saw him, I just visited him. But we didn't have a continuous relationship. We just go and see him like every three months, I would, you know, run into him and share with him. And at that time, he was like in high school, you know, probably 9th grade or 10th grade. But then in 12th grade, he has to go to the high school to study. And I live, you know, in town, which is next to the high school. So he asked if he can stay with me. So then he stayed with me for a year, for his senior year in high school. And I tried to find time to teach him, but he's very busy with his, you know, like senior year is like the busiest year. But I find time to teach him, you know, and Brother Chai also tried to teach him. And then after he graduated in 2023, he joined us. And it was just really amazing. So he was a kid, actually, is the bad kids in the neighbor, you know, like everyone in the village know that he is a bad kid, you know, he always causing troubles. And this is what he told me later. I didn't know at the time, you know, when I first met him. I thought, you know, Jesus can change you, you know, to bring you a new person. And he was like, oh wow, I try to change, you know, I know I'm a troublemaker, I try to change it, but I cannot change. And this guy tell me that I can change, you know. So he start praying. I didn't know he was like, he start praying, but he doesn't really know who Jesus is, because, you know, every time we share, it's just like a short time. Not until like he's lived with me and then, you know, starting to read the Bible himself and he's started to know. But as he just a little prayer, you know, that he did, and his life completely changed, you know. And he's like, I mean, he's still, you know, being kids, you know, there's still little things, but not like, you know, causing a lot of troubles. And every time he go to the village, like everyone was so surprised, like, why is he changed? Like, and they were amazed, like, how can he finish high school? You know, finish high school is a very difficult thing, you know, in the village. So it's really amazing. So he has, you know, he just like joined us, and just like 2-3 months after learning, he able to start in a house church in the village. But he has the boldness. He's just like 19, you know, he just finished high school, and he's like full of passions and boldness to preach. And he lead. And now I'm in the States, so he's kind of helping me in like leading some of the churches that we have started. So the last thing that I want to share is this sustainability. How do we keep going? So we have some short-term plans and some long-term plans. But for the short-term beings, so our disciples that work with us, so they used to have a full-time job, but we want them to be like fully serving the Lord, because they have to take over the weekly meetings. You know, if they just coming and volunteer, it's really hard to take over, you know, the leadership role. But we decided to help them fundraise. So that's one of the thing that, you know, when I come back to the state, you know, I fundraise for myself, but also for our disciple as well. So it's great, you know, in Cambodia have a very low standard of living. So we're just raising 350 a month for each of the co-ministers. So, and that allow them, you know, to, you know, we don't provide the transportation for them. So they have to find their own way to go to the village. So they have their own motorcycle, and some of them they don't. And we tell them you have to save money to buy a motorcycle. So that's why we give them a little bit more. It's 350 a month, so that they have money to save up to get to buy a moto and fixing it. So if you're interested in supporting co-minister, you know, I mean, the best way if you can support like monthly, because that helps to, you know, to have a sustained kind of source. You know, and it's a specific donation code. So in Overland Mission website, you can donate, and you just have to put the code in, and that is specifically for the local disciples there. And then we have a longer term plan is to start a base. And the base is for training missionary and training the local leaders. But one of the things that we have in plan is to doing farmings. So there's a method of farming. It's called farming God's way. It works really well in Africa. It provides a lot of fruits, you know, when we do it God's way. And we believe that, you know, this way we can use it to support the local co-minister. We don't have a detailed plan how it will work, but this is what we have one missionary that is full-time working in this project. So we're also raising funds to buy land right now. We already purchased 2/3 of the land because it's a big area. So we already purchased, because we have to combine different lots to make a big base. So we already purchased 2/3 of the land, and we still have one more lot that we are currently raising funds for it. Actually, by the end of this month, we're trying to raise another 35,000. So it's a team effort. It's not just for me. It's the whole team of Cambodia team. We have about 15 missionary total. Like in my area, we have 6, and then we have 2 different area now. So we have a total of about 15 missionaries. So, so that's all I have for today. So if you are interested in supporting or coming to a missions, and you can contact me. I have a little card with my email on it, so you can. So after the service, you can come. And I can give you my email if you're interested in helping or coming to Cambodia. And you're all welcome and come and visit. So that's all I have.
So I invite you all stand up. We can pray for our brother Chop Chong on the land mission.现在天父，我们再次向你献上我们的恩，谢主你借着罗迪建弟兄来到我们当中，带给我们宝贵的美好的分享。看到过去这许多年，你借着他在柬埔寨的村庄当中做了很多很多奇妙的工作，很多是我们不能够想，我们也没有听过的。但是主你却借着他不断的一直的使用他在那边传扬主你的福音，也训练主你的门徒。 盼望能够有更多的教会因此可以被建立，主，我们特别的感谢主，你这样一直不断的恩待他，恩待我们的教会，将这样美好的消息带到我们当中。我们为着他前面的道路，为着他日后在柬埔寨的侍奉，我们都仰望在主你的手中，将他们的机构、他们未来的计划都全然的向主你献上交托。求主你自己来恩待、施恩和赐福，也帮助我们的教会，帮助我们的弟兄姊妹。 他们知道怎么样可以更好的来跟他们一起同工，可以更好的陪伴他们的侍奉。愿主你自己亲自的恩待、施恩和赐福，听我们的祷告，奉耶稣基督的名，Amen.
Thank you. 好，大家请坐。 Please to be seated. So next we're gonna have our Holy Communion. Our church gonna do monthly